Thank you, praise team.
Praise the Lord. God is good, and all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to stand before your people this morning. Father, I give glory and honor to you for all that you have done here in this place and in the lives of these people. I thank you, Father God, that you are creating a place, an atmosphere where your love and your peace goes forth mightily. And Father, that lives are changed, lives are turned around, that wisdom is imparted, that understanding is imparted. And we decree and declare that your name is exalted in this place, and no other name will be lifted up, and no other voice will be heard but your Spirit, Father God, the Holy Spirit of the Most High. We open our hearts to you to minister your life to us. We give praise, glory, and honor to you, sir. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about vision. There are several types of vision. One vision is what we see through our eyes. That's, you view things, that's vision. We all know that, what we see through our eyeballs. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Another vision is more of a glimpse of something in the future. It's like, you know, I see a time coming where there's, you know, we got 400,000 people in church, and that's quite a vision, but you know, something that may be in the future, just a glimpse of it. And vision can be an idea or a concept or a goal, such as what House of the Lord, we have a vision. We have a vision for our church. Say, well, what is that vision? I'm confused. What are we supposed to be doing? Our vision for House of the Lord is to be a training center, both locally and globally, where folks can come in, be trained and equipped, and then sent back out, as well as sending you folks out to train and equip others in the field and then come back. But it's all based on getting the gospel of the, or the message of the gospel of the kingdom to the earth. Because we just sang the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if we take it. We take his glory to the earth. And then there's another vision is more of a perception or knowing or understanding. But the vision I want to talk about this morning is an internal vision. And for this morning's purposes, it's the vision of how you see yourself. So this is a very personal message. That means I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the person sitting next to you. They don't need to hear this more than you do. But I'm talking to everyone individually. I'm talking to you and I'm talking about you. And that includes all you people sitting at home or wherever you're watching by live stream. Wish you were here. There are so many facets to this. It's kind of hard to, it was, writing this up, it was kind of hard to find a place to, where to start. You know, where to start. So I just decided I was going to jump in with both feet, mainly because jumping in with one foot is a little awkward and cumbersome sometimes. So here we go. A few weeks ago, I mentioned, and that was a re-mention of something earlier, several months ago, I guess, that you will never go beyond what you think. Whatever is in your thinking, your mentality, you will not go beyond that. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." whatever your mindset is or your core belief system, I think we defined it as, your God-given creative force, and it is a spiritual thing, that creative force will cause your life experiences to conform to that mindset. And you cannot and will not go beyond that. If you have a poverty or a poor mentality, well, I'll never get ahead. I'll always be poor. That's just the way I am. My grandfather, my grandparents were poor. My parents were poor. All my brothers and sisters are poor. Nobody ever really gets ahead. That's just the way that's who we are. That's what we do. You could win the lottery and have come into millions of dollars, and it wouldn't be but just a short time. You'd be back trying to buy more lottery tickets because your mentality directs the action of your life. That's the way God made you as a human being in His image. He is a creative force. We have a creative force. But now I can't create through my thinking the course of somebody else. It affects my life. So that's why we need to have a good mindset. If your mindset and thinking is positive and always moving forward, your life experience will resemble your thinking. So it works good and bad. Luke 6:45, Jesus said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. It's out of the treasure of his heart. What's in your spirit? That's what you will produce. And at the same time, an evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart will produce evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the mouth releases the course of your life. Today's message comes as a detail or a specific ingredient on how the mind of the heart, or how your spirit comes to the point of what you believe, and that is through what you see. You know, there's lots of experiences or external things that can tend to shape our thinking or shape our understanding or whatever. But it's the things that we actually believe to be true. And how we see those things about us that will produce the life that we are to live, or that God wants us to live, or that we're going to live, whether He wants that or not. What you see yourself as is one of the biggest ingredients in the way your life will be lived and experienced. And a large part of that is all based on what you choose to see. You are what you see yourself as. By the way, if I had a title for this, and I do, it's called You Are What You See Yourself As. You are what you see yourself as. Don't be deceived. Maybe this is old hat to some of you, but because the Holy Spirit brought it back to us and put it in front of us, we are going to put it back in front of you to be obedient to the Word of God. Okay, here we go. How many of you have eyes? Okay, how many of you can see me standing up here? You can see me. I'm sorry, you're all wrong. Are you sure you're seeing me, or you're seeing my physicalness? Because you know that you are a spirit. You have a soul, which contains your mind, your will, and your emotion, and you live in a body. What you are seeing now is a body. You're seeing my house. You're not seeing me. Can you see my eternal life? No, you cannot. 1 Samuel. I forgot to bring my Bible in here, so I'm going to try to navigate this thing. My wife will tell you, I'm not the best cell phone user. Y'all hang on with me just a minute. What was it? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Here we go. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. He's talking about now what happened. God sent Samuel to Jesse's house. He said, you're going there to anoint a king. But he didn't tell him who he was going to anoint. He just said, go to Samuel's house. So it was an act of faith for Samuel to even go. Okay? Because God didn't show him the next step. Isn't that just like God? He says, take this step. And you don't get anything else until you take that step. So he's not going to show you your end picture. He's got one. And it's a good one, but he's not going to show it to you unless it's one step at a time. But anyway, he had already started looking at the sons of Jesse there to see who the king is going to be. And God said, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. So that's a clue right there that whatever God sees is not necessarily what man is going to see. Okay? For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So when it says man looks at the outward appearance, that means that's all man can look at is the outward appearance. If we could, now he can give us discernment about lots of things about people, but we really can't see somebody else's eternal spirit, not even with our spirit, because our human spirit can't see another human spirit. We see in part. Okay? And it says right here, we have to look at the outside. God looks at the inside. Everybody clear? Okay, good. But you can still get to know my eternal spirit of who I am, but not by looking at me. And I'm here to tell you right now, I'm a whole lot better looking on the inside than what you're looking at right now. Just so that you're, yeah, okay. I don't know if that encourages anybody or not, but probably you're all the same way. The years and the miles are trying to show some signs on this physicalness, but I am still as young and vibrant in my spirit as I was the day that I made Jesus the Lord of my life. Because he renews my youth daily. And as his resurrection power quickens this old body and makes it be alive, it keeps me going. Every day I am renewed. So if you see me standing here, you know that Richard is still in his body. I haven't departed. Okay? I'm not a dead man standing up here. My body has to... My spirit has to be in this body for it to stay around and get to know you wonderful people. But one day, one way or the other, either through the grave or through the air, through the rapture, what you're looking at right now will not be what you see when you see me. Okay? You know that we are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body, so I am proof. Well, I've already said that, didn't I? I got ahead of myself. I want you to know I'm not hiding, but you just can't see me. You just can't see me. You know, there was a a minister. Michelle knew him a long, long, long time ago. I met him briefly a couple of times. But one day he got mad at God. And he went out on a rock at the beach or somewhere like that, and he started throwing a fit. He said, God, I'm tired of not being able to see you, or I'm tired of you being invisible. And then when he got quiet enough, God said, I am not invisible. You just can't see me. But you can see him in nature, in all of his works, all of his creation. Romans says that it's clearly evident that in the physical things that are around us, we can see God. So I'm not invisible. You just can't see me. You can see my body. Okay. So God can see me. He sees all the way down, all the way across, all the way around. And, I won't talk about around no more. But specifically, because I am an eternal spirit and God is an eternal spirit that made me, he is able to see. And we are made in his image and likeness. But we have a limited ability of vision, of spiritual vision, a limited ability of what when we see him. Okay, we can't see all of him. We can't see, like I said, we can't even see all of our own plan, our own life, our agenda, our schedule that God has made for us. We can't even see all of that because we are limited. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. Everybody should know this one by heart. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not, now we're still talking about vision. We're still talking about looking. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now that right there will get you stumped in a circle for just a little bit. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The scripture admonishes us to look at things we cannot see. Well, now that don't make no sense. How can I look at something that I can't see? That is what he said. So if he said to do that, then there has to be a way that we can do that. And of course, we all know that is, we don't see the natural things, or we're not moved or influenced by the natural things around us. We are moved by what we see in the Spirit. On January the 30th, 2013, it was a Wednesday, as you recall. I brought a message called, What You Looking At? And I went into many analogies and definitions of what we can and should be looking at in light of this scripture. But I'm not going to revisit all that. But if you want a transcript of that message, I've got it. You can ask me for it and I'll get you one. So because we are all spirit beings, we have the ability to see things through spiritual eyes. What we see, and especially the way we see ourselves, helps to shape and form our core belief system, and that is where our life experiences are created. I'm teaching you this because without a good picture, without a good vision of yourself, as I said to open up, you can't make it to what God has called you to be. Because God did not say, I've got good plans for some of you, and some of you, No, he said he knows everybody. Everybody was in him before the foundations of the world. He has a plan, and that plan is for your good, for peace, for welfare, for your prosperity. If you're not enjoying those things, if you're not experiencing those life things, then there's a disconnect somewhere. We need to make sure we have the right picture that we're following. What we see, and especially the way we see ourselves, helps to shape and form our core belief system, and that is where our life experiences are created. The way you see yourself is determined through two sets of eyes or through two gates. The first is through the eyes of others. And that's the wrong thing. We all know that's the wrong thing. The eyes of others. Because it can be false or even a lie. You know, we say, what's the difference between being false and a lie? False could just mean that it's a bad fact. A lie, there's an element of deception involved. Okay? Since we can't see the spirit that every person is, we can only assume that people are seeing us in a particular way. You have no idea what somebody else is thinking about you at all. You can assume, but that's not the best thing to do. Not even a good thing to do. I can see fruit that is produced by that spirit, and I can see the fruit that is produced by that flesh. But I can't see what they see. If I try to see myself the way somebody else sees me, I open myself up for a lot of assumptions on my part and easy access to my thoughts by the enemy. You know, I can't see through KB's eyes. He's sitting right there looking at me. I can see his eyes, but I can't see through his eyes. Sorry, I'm using you as an example. He can say something to me, make some kind of comment, whatever. And if I try to interpret that as the way that he sees me, the enemy can jump up on my shoulder and say, see there, he doesn't like you. See there, he thinks this about you. See there, he thinks you're this and that and the other. He thinks you're mean and hateful. When that is not what he thinks at all. Am I right? There went lunch. But if I keep meditating on that, if I keep meditating on what I'm assuming he thinks about me, and I let that get into my spirit and start seeing myself in that way, that is what I become. All based on trying to see me through his eyes. This is never a good thing. Nothing good ever comes out of this way of looking. It only brings confusion, chaos, and strife. Let's look at a story in Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13:32. I'm trying to. Let me set it up. God told Moses, send some spies into the land, into the promised land, to see what's going on over there. So he called and he told them who to send, an elder or a leader from one from each tribe, and send them in there. So 12 spies went in, and they looked around. They were there 40 days. And when they come back, they gave a report. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied, saying. Now, this is a bad report, saying, the land through which we have gone, spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, or the giants. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Oh, that was just a plain lie right there. So what happened? There were 12 spies sent into the promised land. 10 saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight, and they had to assume that the inhabitants of the land saw them as grasshoppers too. You know, so I got wings, I got a little springy leg thing here, I got two big bug eyes up here, I look like a grasshopper. I don't know why they come up with that. But anyway, this was all a lie, because here's the truth. When the son, when those 10 people died, and Joshua and Caleb were still around, they went over into the promised land. They crossed the river, and they made it. But before they did, Joshua sent two spies. He didn't go with the 12 again. He sent two. And they were staying with Rahab there on the wall in Jericho. And Joshua 2:8 says, "Now before they lay down," this was at night, so they had been there for a while, the officials of the land or whatever, the police, whatever, they got word that there was two spies in the country, so they started looking for them. And Rahab sent them away, said, well, she told them a lie, but anyway, she got rid of them, and then she went up and said, "Now before they lay down," she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites and were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Now, that doesn't sound like grasshoppers to me. You know, if all courage melted out of them, left them over grasshoppers, they wouldn't no fight anyway. Okay? The first 10 spies saw themselves through the eyes of others, or what they thought was the eyes of others. And they all died because of it. They didn't get to see the promise, or they didn't get to live in the promised land. Don't look at and see yourself through others' eyes. Living your life based on the way you think other people see you will never, or will forever, limit you, not to what they think. That would be bad enough in and of itself, to limit your life to what somebody else thinks. But to limit your life to what you think they think. That's a double whammy right there. You are or become what you see yourself as. So, how am I supposed to see myself? If I am in any way smart or intelligent, thank you, I will choose to see myself through the eyes of God. Through the eyes of God. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to realize that God sees us. That right there can really make your day turn around. God sees you. God sees you. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. God sees you. And he sees you with love. He sees you in love. He loves you. He sees you. He wants the best for you. Amen. When I say that, I mean he just doesn't see the fruit that we produce, but he sees the very intents and motives of everything we do. We can't hide from God. Do we always have pure motives and good intentions? No. We're human, and sometimes our dirt wants to rise up for a little gratification, or vengeance, or self-promotion, or even self-pity. But when you see yourself through the eyes of God, you have the choice and the ability to change from what you are presently to what He wants you to be. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but I feel it in my spirit to say that you can choose to see only your past. Whatever happened to you between the time that you were born and where you are now, if you keep looking at that past and you keep running that over and over, you will never grow beyond that. You will never get beyond that. You have to turn that loose. You can say, it's a good testimony that God brought me out of all this mess, but if you don't get yourself out of that mess, if you don't see yourself out of that mess, you will stay in that mess.
Amen.
That's a very important thing. Very important thing. Always look for, if you're going to look somewhere, look through God. But if you kind of miss sight of Him every once in a while, at least keep looking forward. What was it Pastor Jim said? Facing forward is the best view of your life. Facing forward, because looking the other direction impedes your progress. Yeah, it's very tough to go forward when you're looking backwards. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So how does God see us? He sees us through what He has said about us. He sees us through His Word. If you are a born-again believer and you have submitted your life to the Lordship of Yeshua or Jesus, when God looks at you, He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees the perfect sacrifice for sin. He sees His will accomplished in you.
Yeah.
See, now you may not see these things, but that's the way God sees you. He sees His will accomplished in you. You say, well, I wish I could see that like Let me say that again. Well, never mind. Actually, you can see yourself any way you want to. You can see yourself as a monkey. And before too long, you'll be running around on your knuckles and your and you know, there's people around that they think there's some strange thing. They identify as some strange thing. I think since that's kind of a fad going around in the world these days, maybe we should identify with God. Identify with God. That way we can walk around laying our hands on people and seeing them get well. Or we can go and speak a word and release the oppression off their life. Or we can go and bring joy into somebody's life because we touch them with our hand. Identify with God. Identify with your brother, Jesus. Okay, where was I? I wasn't even here. But you can choose. But even not choosing is a choice. Yeah, not choosing a choice. And you will still become what you see yourself as. Okay, I'm sorry, there's no getting around that. I don't need philosophers or other leaders of the who may have been smart or had great epiphanies of humanness or whatever, humankind or whatever. But there's a couple of sayings here. One is by Mahatma Gandhi.
There you go.
Yeah, Mahatma Gandhi. He says, keep your thoughts positive because your thoughts become your words. Keep your words positive because your words become your behavior. Keep your behavior positive because your behavior becomes your habits. You see how you're changing? How what you started with, your thought, producing in your life? Keep your habits positive because your habits become your values. Keep your values positive because your values become your destiny. It all starts with your thought. And as it progresses, it produces your destiny. Another one that looks like a paraphrase of that, watch your thoughts for they become words. Watch your words for they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits because they become character. And watch your character for it becomes your destiny. So, I'm sorry, if you're alive, if you're breathing, you're able to get here into this building, your brain is working at some level, okay? Hopefully a big level, a high level, where you have reason, you have understanding, you walk in some sort of wisdom, and you're not just a brain-dead vegetable. But if you have some cognitive firing of synapses and all that stuff going on in your head, you have a choice. The choice is yours to see yourself the way God sees you. It's not going to come automatically, because what these things are seeing has a big influence on what goes on down here. That's why Second Corinthians said, we look not at the things which are seen. Don't allow the physical to change or to affect the spiritual vision that God wants you to see. It's going to be different. It's going to be different. So first of all, I put myself under the blood of Jesus. I have made him Lord of my life. I have turned from the acts of sin. I have turned from the acts of sin and disobedience. Say, yeah, but we're saved by grace. We can do anything we want. No, you can't. Your life will not function correctly. I've turned from the acts of sin and disobedience to God, and I submit myself to the Holy Spirit so he can lead me and guide me in his path for me. I change the images of myself from what I was to what God says about me by continually meditating on God's word and what he has said about me. I know that what he said and what he sees are in agreement. What he says and what he sees are in agreement because he's holy. He's one. We know what that means. So I put myself in agreement with him. He's not going to put himself in agreement with us unless we are in agreement with him. Okay? Because he doesn't change. We're the ones that has to change. I put myself in agreement with him so that I can see myself the same way he sees me. As I see myself more and more in line with the way God sees me, I am changed. That's how all these other things, our thoughts, our actions, our habits, our character, all change our destiny and affects the life experiences that we experience. I can change by the supernatural power of God that he placed in us into the person that looks and acts like a son of God. And that's our ultimate goal. That's what the maturing of the saints in Ephesians 4, what the fivefold ministry is all about, is equipping and bringing the saints to maturity unto the full stature of Christ, so that we look like Christ, that we act like Christ, we function like Christ, we think like Christ. We can do that. We can have the mind of Christ. That should be our goal. Not the new house, not the new car. Our goal, our picture that we put in front of us, should be to look like Jesus.
Amen.
To look like Jesus. If you want to know what God sees, I encourage you. I printed out some more. These handouts that you got a couple of weeks ago, knowing who I am in Christ, there's about 30 or 31 sitting back there on that table. It's all scripture. It all gives you a picture of the way God sees you. God sees you complete in him. God sees you alive in Christ. God sees you free from the law of sin and death. God sees you far from oppression. God sees you born of God, and the evil one does not touch you. God sees you as holy and without blame. God sees that you have the mind of Christ. God sees that you have peace with God that surpasses all understanding. And on and on and on. There's a little over three pages, three and that many more, of scriptures already written down for you. But if you take it and you leave it in your Bible and you don't ever open your Bible, it's not going to give you anything to look at in your spirit. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to look at it. You're going to have to meditate on it. If you will read these out loud, because your words are part of the process of being changed and becoming like God, becoming like Jesus. If you will read these out loud and digest each word daily. What do I mean by digest? I'm talking about meditate. Meditate. How do you meditate? Take this first one. I am complete in him. Okay, I. That's me. That talks about me. Okay, I. It's not somebody else, although anybody else can participate, but I'm talking about me. This is I. Am. Not I'm going to be. Not I used to be, or it would be a good thing if I was. I am. So complete. That means that, well, there's nothing else to do. That complete is perfect. It's all done. It's finished. I am complete in him. In him, that means that I live in him. Every day he is my constant thought. He's my constant idea. I look to him constantly. So that's how you meditate. You take one word at a time and you make sure that you understand what that word means and what it means to you. And then you can put it all together and it forms a picture on the inside of you, a spiritual picture. His word is spirit. His word is truth and life. So when you get a word picture, it is a truth and life picture. If you digest each word daily, your life will start producing the fruit and your life experience will, or the your life will experience the reality of the physical from the spiritual. Your spiritual will start creating the natural. God told Joshua if he would meditate the scriptures day and night, he would come to the point that he would do what he says. Meditating is thinking and digesting and saying out loud. So there we got thoughts, we got words, that we would come to the point, habits, that we would do and say what the Word says. That becomes our character. And then we would make, or he would make his way prosperous and good, have good success. That was his destiny. That's our destiny, is to have good success and be prosperous. You will become what you see yourself as. Let me shift a little bit here. I got a couple more pages, but it won't take long. Let me shift from the way we see ourselves to the way we see the world around us. Now, we've already talked about we don't allow what the world around us, we don't allow that to affect our picture. But what about the world around us? Something has to change, something somewhere. And mainly I'm talking about our circumstances and situations. Sometimes I get ahead of myself and I gotta catch up. Do you see what your circumstances say about you? You don't make enough money. You don't have enough education or training. You have too many uh-ohs on your credit report. Your house ain't big enough. Your car's too old. Nobody likes you. Nobody loves you. You're ugly. No, I didn't put that in there. But those circumstances can form a picture. And if we keep seeing, that's the circumstances that we keep seeing over and over and over, then that's where we're going to stay. Did you ever notice that what we call situations and circumstances are never positive? Just the fact that we say, I got a few circumstances, or there's some circumstances, generally that's negative. It's a bad thing. Very seldom do you hear, yeah, I got some circumstances. You know, I got too much money. There may actually be a circumstance where too much money is not a good thing, but I can't think of it. I'm not going to think about it either, so don't ask me. Your credit score is too high. Again, there may be a situation where that, or your car is too new. What to do? Woe is me, I'm too blessed. But the way to shut up all these negative circumstances is to see and meditate, again, the same way that we change the picture of us. We change the picture of those circumstances through the Word of God. What God says about them. God says no weapon formed against you will prosper. God says you lack for no good thing. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He could be working on the other side of the world right now for a blessing for you. And you just keep going. You let God take care of it, it'll get to you. There are promises already written in the book that if we can find them and see them instead of seeing or looking at the circumstances and problems, the promises, which are God's word, which never fails, which can't be defeated, will take care of the problem. It's a matter of focus, but it is your choice. You can see there's a circumstance right here. Look just beyond it at the promise. Put the promise behind it and say, okay, but I choose to see that. It's like when Elisha and Gehazi was surrounded by the armies, and they were going to come take care of those two guys. And God opened Gehazi's eyes, and he saw, oh, there's a bigger army behind them, and they're on our side. Look beyond the problem at the promise, and watch the promise take care of the problem. You have to choose what you believe as truth. Do you believe the problem or do you believe the promise? This is your core belief system that determines your life experience. You get to decide. It's been said that we do not live by the facts, but by what we tell ourselves about the facts. If our facts are wrong, our lives will be wrong and makes for a hard living. But when we learn and believe the truth, which is God's word is truth, we will live by the word, and the truth of his promises will become our reality. You are what you see yourself as. You say, Richard, you're just saying a lot of the same stuff over and over and over again. I hope you're getting it. The next little point I want to mention is so simple but so profound. Even the world has learned a thing or two about it. Even the world picked up on it. Imagine that. While I believe all laws of nature, especially when it applies to humans, is spiritual in origin, God has determined all the laws of physics and science and the principles that make them work for us or against us. God has set those laws, those laws of physics, you know, gravity, and, you know, gravity's always on. It can be superseded, but there's still gravity. God made that. And have you ever studied the earth? Have you ever looked at the earth? That's how you can't miss God. The earth is traveling at about 1,000 miles an hour. Spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Do you feel that? You know why? Because we're traveling with it. Because we're on it. We're going the same speed. Have you ever had a piece of paper or chewing gum or something that you wanted to get rid of? Then your car, you're going 65 miles an hour down the road. And that paper, you can hold that paper in your hand. And it's good. You know, it stays right there with you. You stick it out the window, it's gone. It felt, because it was not part of what it was in, it felt the force of the 65 mile an hour wind that was outside the car. That's the way we are on the earth, traveling 1,000 miles an hour. We can be just as still and no effect because we're traveling with it. Now that's a God thing. How did God know how fast to spin the earth? He's so good. He's so good. But he put all those laws in place. Put all those laws in place. Now, those things that work for us, they can also work against us. If we're that piece of paper, we hop out that window, it's trouble. And this little simple principle that I'm talking about is the principle of you will steer where you see or where you focus. Now, I found a short article from a motorcycle website. It's not a word about God, okay? I'm not saying that they don't believe in God because they believe in this, and I think that they kind of have an idea where this came from, but it's a motorcycle website, and they have a guy that writes a blog every once in a while. Generally, it's about racing motorcycles. You know, those things they almost lay down on, and they swim way over, and they stick their knee out, and it scrapes, and they're going 150, 60 miles an hour. If you ever been to a motorcycle or a motocross, or I went to a MotoGP, which is a motorcycle Grand Prix, out here at Circuit of the Americas a couple of years ago, and those guys are crazy. They're crazy. Crazy to get on a bike and the things they do. They take it to the limit. They call it, there's a word for it, it's called the limit. When you're just, you know, you're on the side of your wheels, you're leaning so far over, going over 100 miles an hour, and then you've got to get up over and back this because the road goes that way. And it's just crazy. But anyway, a motorcycle website has a blog. And in this article, this guy was writing about, look where you want to go. Look where you want to go. Now, isn't that what I've been talking about? See what you want to be and keep that in front of you. I'm not just making this stuff up. This is real stuff. Let me read this short excerpt. The power of... No, I don't need you on there. Oh, hi. Keep going. Thanks, Bob. Good to see you. Anyway, the power of look where you want to go is also that it applies to everyone. Can't get away from it. The expert level racer has long ago ingrained this knowledge, but still benefits from it when riding at the limit. That's full open wide out, just as fast as you can go, and trying to make a sketchy pass. He knows to look way ahead through the corner that he might not make. There's no guarantee that he's going to make it through that corner, but he has to look through that corner and look on down, because it's going to happen very, very fast. It's going to be there very quickly, and if he doesn't keep his eyes up there, it's going to slow the action down very, very slow. The new rider, and I've gone by some parking lots where they're having a new motorcycle class. Oh, Lord. The new rider, nervously weaving toward the parking lot cones on the first day of his basic rider course, will also benefit from looking where he wants to go if he doesn't miss that part of the instructions. The opposite of looking where you want to go is target fixation, in which that new rider focuses on the cone he's afraid of hitting. So, of course, he nails the cone, because the motorcycle thought he was looking where he wanted to go, because the motorcycle had become a part of him. And his muscle reactions, his physical deeds or whatever, went right to where he was looking, made the motorcycle ride. There's one more source of power in this saying. Now, this is still this blog. That's in how it applies not just so uncannily to riding, but also to life. Look where you want to go means keeping your gaze on the real prize, the big goals you want to achieve during your finite time on this sphere. Staring at the spot just ahead of your front tire, either literally or metaphorically, ensures you won't be ready for the next curve life throws at you. Now, from a non-scriptural or spiritual point of view, that's pretty profound, because it's right. It's the truth. Now, what this writer didn't express, like I say, is that this is a spiritual force created in us by God, but it is a spiritual force. He just knows that it works, and it's handy to follow when racing or even joyriding. God put it in us that what we see, what we believe, what we focus on is where we will go. You meditate and focus on the Word and its promises, you will go to a successful and prosperous life. You meditate and focus on the circumstances and the situations of the world around you, you will be trapped in those situations. You meditate and focus on the disasters of evil and chaos in the world, you will always be fearful and anxious and a sense of hopelessness. Look where you want to go, because you will steer where you see. You are what you see yourself as. One last thought here before we close. To cap this all up, we're talking about not looking at what we can see with our physical eyes. Remember our scripture. but looking into and seeing into the spirit realm with our spiritual eyes. What we see in the spirit is not only more real than what we see with our natural eyes, but the spirit realm controls the physical realm. There are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You might be confused about which one is which. I don't see how you can be. But let me tell you, 6,000 people worshiping God on Huntington Beach a couple of weeks ago, being baptized in the ocean, that's the kingdom of God. The 300 people or over 300 people that have been saved in Los Angeles, right in the middle of all the mess, that's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of light. The rioters and looters, thieves and thugs, burning and destroying the cities of America and is the kingdom of darkness. Just so as you know, that's the kingdom of darkness. It's all a physical manifestation of spiritual impetus. It is up to us to choose what we are going to see, what we're going to look at, and what we're going to focus on. God gives a, and it's very important that you choose. Again, I say, no choice is a choice. God gives a picture on the inside of a born-again believer and works from the inside out to make it or to get it accomplished. If we keep that picture, the one that God gives us on the inside from His Word, we keep that picture in front of us and we don't lose sight of it or let it be pushed out of our sight, it will come to pass because it's based on God's Word. God's Word will not fail. If He said it, it will come to pass. The enemy's tactic, he paints a gloomy picture on the outside. CNN. And he tries to work his way in to make you believe it. Because if you believe that picture, the same thing happens, but there's a different result. It comes to pass. But it's not a good pass. So how to tell the difference? Every good and perfect gift comes down from God out of heaven. God is good. All of His stuff is good. God is love. So what He brings to you is always love, joy, and peace. Get to know God through His Word, and you won't have any problems recognizing His gifts and the pictures He wants you to focus on and enjoy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father God, I thank You that Your Word has gone forth today. We know the enemy is on the prowl to look to steal that word out of our heart, even now, because Jesus said immediately the enemy comes to steal the word. So we put a hold on the work of the enemy, and we say, you will not steal this word. You will not steal this word out of our heart. You will not paint pictures that are false. We will keep our eyes on the Word of God. We will keep our eyes on our Redeemer. And we will see the fruit of the Word, the blessings of Your Word, of Your plan for us, Father God. I thank You and I seal the Word into every heart, into every mind and life that is here this morning in this building or watching by live stream. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, that that Word grows and it produces much fruit, so that it may feed others and others and others, can be raised up and glorified with Your glory, Father. Thank You, sir. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. Praise You, Father God. Bless You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you are the blessed of the Lord. And whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. No weapon formed against you prospers, but every tongue that would rise against you as a weapon will fail and fall because you are a child of the Most High God and you can condemn those words that are said against you, those actions that are taken against you. you condemn those and be free. You are children of the Most High God, and you are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace. You're surrounded with His favor, His love, His grace. Everywhere you go, you are the light of God, and you dispel the darkness, and you provide a sweet-smelling aroma of His presence in every place when you're led by the Holy Spirit. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you follow the picture of the Word of God in your life. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go with God. Amen. You're loved. We'll see you. Next thing is Tuesday night. Prayer meeting, 7 o'clock. 6:30. By 7 o'clock, we'll be going.